I woke up this morning with my mind.
I wasn't expecting this one. I don't, you know, I didn't grow up Baptist, you guys. So I'm still trying to get my Baptist card now that I go to a Baptist church.
All right, your line is stayed on Jesus.
Ready? All right.
I woke up this morning with my mind.
I was trying to find my note. Stayed on Jesus.
Ooh, okay.
Amen.
All right, CC. What's up, y'all? We back. We live. My name is Keon.
And I'm Destiny. And this is Journey to the Hills.
We missed y'all. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about the return. You have to excuse my husband. He's a little...
Yeah, it's
but you know
long,
we're gonna.
It's been a long day,
but,
we're here.
We're ready. Right. Okay, so today's episode is called "The Return." It's all about us transitioning from our previous church, the Lord calling us back to my husband's church, where we go now, New Chapel Baptist Church.
Well, it's our church.
Well, it's our church. Yes, but you know, it previously was your church prior to me being around. You know, and
yeah, family church.
Yeah, and I think this is a great episode because I feel that in life there's gonna be transition, and we kind of talked about that in the very first episode. But this is kind of giving you the full take, how we feel about church, how we were raised, you know, and kind of just our background and how working together and making this step has been beneficial for us and also, you know, church at large.
Yeah, and if you don't know by now, we are church kids.
We're
everything churchy.
Kids.
You're gonna hear us singing songs all throughout the house.
Mm-hmm.
This is just where our heart is. So this heart, this episode is near to our hearts.
Yeah.
I guess we could start, like you said, talk about your upbringing in church, and then I'll talk about mine.
Okay.
And then we go from there.
So I'm 30 years old and my parents have been pastors all the years of my life, all my entire life. They've never not been pastors. I think, well, when I was like two, I think my dad was still he worked for the post office and then he started delivering the mail another way through Jesus. Amen. And, you know, it's been great. My church, my parent church, is non-denominational. And it has been all my life. We've never been anything else, just a fellowship, you know, church. And growing up, a PK was, for me, I enjoyed it. I feel like we got a lot of perks. We always going to eat first. The only like cons are like you're going to have to stay after a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, of course, you know, the big thing that I think a lot of pastors' kids can probably agree with is like, we're looked at like these angel kids and we're just like, I'm just like your kids. I'm not any different. You know what I'm saying? I think that was like a big thing for us. I'm one of five. And I think that was the big thing. Like, why I gotta do everything right? I'm 15, just like your son. You know what I'm saying? But I think that was it. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved the favor. I loved that my parents were spiritually inclined because, you know, speak into my life. Sometimes they would see things that I was doing that they didn't, you know, I didn't know that they knew, you know? So it was great. And I think being at this big age now, it's like, I'm grateful for all the things that came with being a pastor's kid.
Love it.
How about you?
Same. I grew up a preacher's kid my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
All throughout my family, grandfather, like I said on the episode, started the church. My dad took over. So I was in church all day, all three services. We were a Baptist church.
You are. And still are.
Yeah, we are. our home church is a Baptist church, so yeah. It's a little different from a non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all love Jesus.
Hello.
And that's what matters. But there were some different intricacies.
Yeah.
Little red hymns.
Like one of the big things. Okay, very much hymns. I know, you know, the popular ones. If it's not popular, then I need to get my hymnal card up for sure. And then, like, I feel like the way that I would say that I would dress to a Baptist church versus like non-denominational. I feel like that's like one other like small thing.
Yeah. It's a lot of more tradition,
yes.
Rituals. Yeah.
Yeah, traditional.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think that is being at the church now, what is it, 5 months, 4 months now?
Yeah.
I'm kind of used to how it operates now. Like I think at the beginning it was like, okay, this is new. But I think now I'm just like, this is just the way that, you know, the way that it is. And I'm pretty used to it. I'm used to the flow. I'm used to like the song choices or just the different ways that things happen. I've visited multiple Baptist churches in my time, but I've never been a member at one. And so it's been a good experience. It really has.
I guess we could also talk, like I played the drums growing up, junior deacon, obviously very involved. Then as I got older, content creation, helping with like visuals. And I know you
all the things, dancing, praise and worship,
yeah.
Dance, media,
all the things,
like the youth planning team. And I loved it. I think I loved being a part. And I think those are all different ways for us to just give our gifts back to God, honestly. And I've thoroughly enjoyed, I think, you know, that was a way to make friendship that I still have today, and things of that nature. So we were both heavily involved. And that's actually the way that I DM Keon. I found the commonality. We both were serving at the media teams at our church. He put it in his close friends. And I said, this is my time. This is my time. And I think it's really good to date people who had the heart to serve.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. But also, too, like, I feel like we gained a lot of skills that we use now.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
I feel like the church is beautiful in that aspect, particularly with, like, youth and teens and young adults. Yeah. It's like, you're working on public speaking. I was speaking in front of the whole church.
Yeah.
And, like, reading the scripture of the day on youth Sundays. That's so like, true. All those things, like, leadership. Like, you learn so much in church, and I feel like it's a vital aspect to just growth. So, but now here we are. And the context around it is like, again, like we love church and we also like know church. I feel like we study it. We visited multiple churches. We watch church all through, like different churches at home.
Like just for fun. And just that might be fun. Weird to someone.
Yeah.
But we do. I think it's so cool that we have the same, what do you call it? Like a desire or like interest.
Or just a heart for it.
Yeah. And it wasn't like something that we ever said, like, do you like doing this? It was just like, it kind of just happened. And it's like, oh my gosh. One, I'm very grateful that, you know, there's someone who maybe we would date and they would be like, why are you watching this? Or like, why are you listening? I remember on our first date, Keon played gospel music on our way home. And I was just like, he's my husband. Because I don't, and he didn't really know. At that point, that was our first date ever.
Yeah.
But for me, that was like, he checks all the boxes. I mean, he already did, but like doing that, and he wasn't like asking me. It was more just like, I'm going to put it on. I'm like, okay.
I was a little nervous too because I didn't know how he was going to respond, but I was like, that's just something I always do. Like, anytime I'm coming home from something, like, I always like put gospel music on. I don't know if it's like protection or just to get my mind right before I go back in the house.
Yeah. And I thought that was just so soothing. Amazing. So, yeah, well, what else about church? Or even do you want to talk more so about us returning to?
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to. So, I think, again, knowing our heart behind it, kind of like our skills, I feel like God brought us back to serve.
Mm hmm.
In any capacity that the church needed help. And I think it's been a beautiful experience. I would say like the first couple months, like we literally was just attending.
Mm-hmm.
Like we was just visiting, saying hi to people, connected with people, new people, mm-hmm. reconnected with people. And then after that, we would go home. And then I think around maybe like month two or month three, my parents came to us. It's like, hey, we want y'all to get involved. Like mm-hmm. we want to hear some of y'all ideas. Like how can we make some improvements? And then from there, like, I feel like we've been meeting every Sunday since. But I think one of the things we also did too was like visiting other churches.
Yeah. And I thought that was so much fun. I think we
went on a church tour.
We did. I think with our backgrounds there, it's so funny because it's like Keon is really like great at like creatives or like how things should be run, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like me, it's like I can go somewhere and find like the thing that probably could be fixed. But also, I feel like I look at like the structure of a thing. Like, it's very, and I think our skill sets together bring about something that I feel like is great. And going on that church tour was so amazing because one, you love to see how other churches are operating. We came from a church that was operating in a great way, and the structure and things that we learned there, we're able to take on to where we're going. But I think being able to see how other churches operate, how they do worship, how you are greeted, just all kind of things. Their lighting. Keon is really big into that. I never cared about that until I met Keon. How the lights are. And
I'm just more so big on the experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, like you said, like the creative side.
Yes, like, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've visited some churches and I was like, I love how they do this. Or like they have little small things, like their little visitors cards, like little things that really make a difference. And I loved having been able to do that.
Yeah.
What are you about to say?
Yeah, so we came back, we started visiting other churches and then started meeting with my parents. And I guess I just want to talk through, I know we dove on like our skill sets and how they blend, but like I guess I just want to talk further through working together. Like, how did you feel about, like, for example, the 6-month plan we made, you know, like leading meetings and bouncing off ideas? Like, how was that for you? Because I think we work together in just about everything now. I think God has strategically placed us in a space where, like, every aspect of our life, we're intertwined working with each other. Like, the school, the pod. At first, it was just the pod, and then we had our own separate things. But now, like, you're helping me with the school. Mm-hmm. We're working together on the church. We're working together on the pod. So it requires additional communication. How's particularly just the church, though? How's that been for you? Like,
I think it's been great. I think that I maybe started off a little bit more apprehensive about, like, what can I say? Or, like, what can I not say? Or how... I'm someone who I can kind of, like...
Make sure you tell your dad this. Yeah. I'm like, you in the meeting with me.
I'm just like, you know, I feel like he'll receive it better from you. Like, from his son. I know that I'm the daughter-in-law and that they love me just how much they love Keon. But I don't know. I just feel like I think now I have a better footing. But I do think that I'm grateful that your parents even take into consideration what my thoughts are. You know what I'm saying? And it's amazing. I think that I feel that they see the skill sets that we have and they really want to welcome them in. So I think at first it was a little like tiptoe. What can I say? How to say it? Because I can say things pretty straight, you know? And I've really been working on that. God's been doing the work in me. Not even just, I can be very black and white, very like cut and dry, but you can say something that's not so hot in a nice way. You know what I'm saying? And I've grown in that. And I think even this experience has helped me to also learn how to tastefully, you know, share a concern or a critique.
Yeah. And I feel like we also kind of learned. I know we always knew, like, kind of how we operate. Like, I'll share something and then you bring it to life or you'll, like, itemize it. But I feel like we've also had ways where, like, the roles were reversed in this situation. Mm-hmm. And particularly in the church, like, you'll come up with, like, a creative idea. Mm-hmm. And I might be the one to, like, present it or like put it in place. Yeah. So I thought that was cool too. Like, yeah. I think about the meeting we had. So we presented like a new order of service to the church because we just wanted to change some things.
Yeah, and we did a survey.
And the feedback from the church was like they wanted to see just changes in the flow of the order of service. So we presented that to all of the leaders and it went well.
It definitely went well.
Definitely was a little nervous.
Yeah, for sure. Because just some backstory, the church is like was started by his grandfather. How many years has it been?
It's been about 60 years.
Yeah. So and there are some members
demographic,
who are,
and the demographic is like 80% 55 plus
and over. So think just a little caveat.
Just a little more context.
Yeah. So the members are like 55, 60, 70, and they've been at the church for maybe their entire life.
So you can imagine lighting being brought up. And they're like,
what we got to do? What does that matter? What does that matter? Lighting, what's that? You know? But I think that they were still open, even though they, you know, they've been here for 30 years. Like some of them have been at the church for 30 years. So they're used to the way that things have been.
But I feel like they was open. They received it.
They were open.
They really been welcoming us, particularly. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like remember that day we joined, and they was like super.
They're like, "Oh, listen, my time is coming anyway. We need young people." I said, "Come on, welcome us in." But I think I love that. I even love that. Like you know that your time, and even in our Bible study, we've been reading like Titus about how like elders and how the older people are supposed to bring in the young people to be able to train us. And I think that. I don't know if I've seen that really done. Like, this is biblical, you know, to say I've served my time. Let me, you know, dig into training or whatever in training to be able to. I've did what God called me to do. And I've reached my time where I maybe just can sit now. But, you know, I need to bring you along to ensure that you know how to operate in this area.
Yeah.
So I think that her saying that for me was like, you know, you're right.
I also think like we're not perfect, but I also think we have the humility to serve.
Yes.
And that makes it easier for a leader to receive that. Because I know I have my moments. I might vent to you. Yes. Like, man, we just need to change this. Like, why are we doing this? Like, my ambition or just my desire to see change. Mm-hmm. But I try to vent that to you. So when I'm presenting myself, I'm way more humble so that they can be received. But I think that is a common struggle, particularly within like youth and young adults serving in church, is that sometimes it can come off like prideful or like egotistical. Like, I know y'all out, y'all in the way, like, y'all need to get out the way.
Oh, you're outdated.
Like, this needs to change. Like, why are y'all still doing this? Yeah. And for a senior who's been there for 20 years, who served in the church, who's tithing, and done all those things, you coming in and telling me how I should, and I'm only speaking just conversations and also my own personal heart that God had to deal with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So. And I think as a young person coming in, you have to know that there's wisdom in the person who is there before you.
Yep.
Like, they've been there for X amount of years. They know how. And even if their way may be maybe not the most effective, it was efficient at some point.
Yeah.
And I think how you bring up the thing, even like how, you know, I've had to learn how to express like a critique, how I bring up the desire change. It's important too. I can't say like, y'all, this is old, like wrap it up. No, yeah. I have to really express like what y'all have done is amazing. However, I feel like there's a more effective or efficient way to get this done. Or I would love for our ideas to be, you know, cross collaborated, even like how we're kind of planning right now. Like, yeah. I think that it's great that you have, that you've maybe seen this thing one way, but I think that it's amazing when their heart, the person who's been there for 30 years, is open to at least hearing the idea of the newness. And I think that that's how the church can grow, by continuing to have both hearts being open, humble, our yeah. hearts being open, as well as the person who is seasoned, so that we can bring about what really is one, the heart of the pastor of this house, and then how we can bring that vision to pass. Not yeah. like, what's my vision, Keon vision, missionary, whoever vision. No, yeah. what's the vision for a pastor of this house, and how can we bring our ideas together to really continue to do the work of the kingdom?
Yeah, and your heart to serve can't be dependent on your agreeance with, you know what I'm saying, what they're doing. Like, I can't say I'm only serving if when I get my way. Ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Nah, I got to serve because this is what God has called me to do. Yeah. This is where God has placed me.
Yeah.
This is the vision of the pastor. And yeah. I'm just going to, whether I agree with it or not, mm-hmm. I can share my idea. If they don't agree with it, I'm still going to be here 8 o'clock to do whatever I need to do. So yeah. I think that's what God is calling.
And I think if you remember that, like, the Lord has called that pastor, like, to be over that house, like, you can kind of, everything else can kind of go to the side. Like, sure. You're not, I mean, you probably have great ideas, but like, you know, just remember your role.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Bible talks about how there's pastors, leaders, teachers. Like, you're in your role for right now, and you can definitely grow to being that leader, that, you know, elder, deacon, and you may have more say. But while you are at this level, just remember that you're here to change this area. Remember to serve and bring edification to that house, you know? And I think how you show up is also attractive to those who are watching you. They maybe now come to your church because of how you show up and how you, you know, may not share your opinion about what's happening, but you still serve well. And I think that's the most important thing. No matter where you are, how old or how old the church is or whatever, can you like serve, like you said, is your heart to just serve the people? It's not about a title or how much, anything like that. It's just about, can I serve this house?
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Yes.
And if it's not appropriate, we can delete it.
I'm screaming.
There's been, I don't know how many times we can count. Probably, we'll probably be rich if it was a dollar every time somebody said, when y'all gonna start your own church? Or y'all should start
I'm
your own
church. I'm cracking up at this. It can be deleted.
Let's say, I don't necessarily see it, but let's say the Lord calls us to have our own church, or mm-hmm. we lead a church one
or
day.
Like a dream church, or just how, yeah,
we can just leave it at that. Let's cut it from here. Cut it from here. Destiny, how do you feel about, like, how would you see, like, an ideal church? Like, what would be, like, the dream church?
Okay. And I think that I've been to,
and we've
I think
been,
it's, like,
about
two
say,
churches
to,
that I feel like I would mix together. I can see them in my head right now. That I feel like do what, where I am in my season of my walk, what I will be desiring for church. So, like, of course, you know, I don't care about the size, because I feel like I'm someone who I would be, I'm going to involve myself to create friendship. So I think sometimes people care about, like, you know, the big or small. It could be mega or it could be medium or family size. Definitely friendly. Definitely where they, of course, you know, it's modern. We mixing in all the kind of worships. We singing CCM and we singing hymnals and we singing all. We mixing it in. We're not just like one type of worship.
Okay. This is your church.
Maybe not too much hymnals, though. I kind of lack.
This is your church.
Maybe once every holiday, like Christmas, Easter, you know. You know, I just feel like this is the normal things. We have like Bible study, or we have like life groups. We have like, you know, small groups where you can grow. I think that you want to be able to be a church that has tons of resources to be able to impact the community. There's a marriage ministry. There's a women's. There's a men's. The word is from the Bible. It's biblical. You know, I'm leaving church like challenged and wanting to go back and study the word. There's, you know, of course, ways to serve, dance and all that kind of stuff. So I think I'm pretty like basic. I think when you say like what I desire, I think more like what it looks like or that. That's, what would you suggest or what would you say?
I got a quite a few takes.
Well, you know, let's take it. Let's take it. Let's have it.
Okay. My ideal church mm-hmm. or a dream church or just like a church that, and I'm sure, also too, I would love to clear that there are some amazing churches out here.
Tons. And we live in a state where yeah, there's hundreds of churches. Okay.
There's no excuse.
You can't. Hey,
because I feel like there's just like this misconception that I hate so much. Like every pastor steals money. Yes. Like every church is.
We should talk about that first.
Yeah, that's what we do. Because like, there's so many churches out here that's doing amazing yeah, things,
and they have integral pastors that yeah, really love their people, that shepherd them, that's not doing nothing with their money. They have other things going on outside of preaching. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think it was like a TikTok or Instagram reel where the guy was like, "When a plan lands safely, like it don't make the news." Like basically, like
that's
like
good.
The good
that's
stuff good is not one. On.
Okay, Mister, whoever said that.
Yeah, the good stuff is not on display. But yes, anytime somebody mess up, it's all on shade, bro. Yeah. Every church is like, come yeah, on, bro. That's not true. Even the case.
That's true.
All right, but my dream church or just like an ideal church is like somewhere where I walk in and it feels like home, a sanctuary or a temple.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
You see what I'm saying? Like yeah, I just
been to a couple
like some that, churches like. I'm maybe it's the Baptist it's in the me Baptist or the in traditional, but
he
I love
the
like a,
he want the windows to
yeah,
be
yeah, like I love like the classic like this is a sanctuary feel, but I also love the LED lights and I love the
he
LED
want the
screen.
LED lights in the sanctuary with stained glass windows. That's yes, what he wants, and like, I'm not playing. I'm being for real.
I'm so serious. Every time we visit a church, I always look at like
the layout.
The layout, mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, if there could be like a mix of that, because I feel like either you're gonna be at a concert, like it's gonna be pitch black, and it's gonna be a stage, or it's just gonna be an extreme antique building.
Yes.
Oh,
I know. I can think of a couple like, places that are that have.
There
that,
are a few. Yeah. Like there are a few. Again, going back to like every church not the same. Like mm-hmm. there are a few who mix it, but I guess like just in my heart, there's a and there's a mix in all aspects of the church, like. You still have your hymns yeah, and you still have like older songs, but then you also might throw in some newer worship mm-hmm. or newer experiences. Mm-hmm. You still have like the mothers of the church, the deacons, all mm-hmm. the people who, mm-hmm. and not necessarily the title of a deacon, but just like seniors and younger people. Mm-hmm. Like there's a mix of just
that's
like,
my favorite kind of church, a multi-generational,
multi-generational
church.
Multi-generational church.
That's huge.
Again, I mean, of course, like the normal, like you feel at home, you feel like welcome. It's a family environment. A lot of things that you spoke to, like Bible study, life groups. The ideal church is not going to have a singles ministry.
Or maybe that's
hot take. This is my this is just my personal take. I believe that singles ministries. I gotta watch myself. I'm about to,
you know, just say it in a nice way. Remember, we're
I
talking
think
about
that.
Tasteful.
I think that there is a space where single ministries can thrive, but I think that how it has been mm-hmm. ran in certain spaces mm-hmm. that it can improve in order to gain more reach.
You know, I can't think of a time where I've went to a singles event when I was single at a church. I can't think
I think the fact that it's called a singles ministry is like I'm not if I see singles night or single, I'm just not.
But see,
I'm not
for girls, I don't think so. I feel like we would be like, okay, cool. But maybe that's the
Maybe that's where I'm speaking from. Yeah. I'm speaking from a guy's yeah, perspective.
Yeah.
Like if I put that in the group chat with my man, they would be like, Key, like, what's up?
And you know I guess if saying? I think about it, like the things that I have if I've ever been to or like I've seen people go to like on TV, if I watch something, it's definitely always like 90 women and 10 men.
99 women yeah, and one man. And the man is serving, trying to help set everything up.
Amen.
Even going back to remember when we was about to plan, we're probably going to do this plan, our event for Journey, like a mixer. In
okay,
a sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we're not, when I was going, I was like, bro, we can't call it a singles night. We got to call it something like, a game night or a mixer night or like a connecting night to where it's like.
Because that really matters to men. Like, I think women don't care to be like, we're single. Okay, cool.
Bruh.
But what is that about? Like, y'all too cool to go to the place that y'all are in? You're like,
there's
y'all
a political response to this and then there's a regular response.
Okay.
The regular response is, it's just champ. Like, nobody's going to. I'm sorry, there's a lot of people not
champ
around here.
Champ is fine.
Champ is another word for corny.
Yeah,
or
for
just
corny.
Like, not acceptable. So in our eyes, that's just like champ. But then in more of like a, I guess, political way, I feel like I'm coming in telling, like, I'm like coming in thirsty. Like, I'm almost looking for something. Like,
why? But that's can't the we purpose just, of it.
I know, but men don't think like that. Like, we come into spaces.
I've talked to God like, about this.
We come into spaces like everything don't got. Because I also think going back to.
Because make it make sense. Listen,
also, men, single men in the church, there's such a magnifying glass okay, on them.
Okay, we've talked about this before.
To where it's like anytime the single man walks in, all eyes on them. Okay. We got to make sure we find him a wife. It's like, dang, bro. Can we just play Uno?
Okay, fair.
Can we just like, hey, how you doing? Can we talk like just cool it? Like, why I got to be all that? So that's where. That's what my thoughts
are. I'm screaming.
But I mean, there are spaces where single ministries can thrive. I think like again, like life groups, like game nights.
Yeah.
I think mixers. Like, I think there's different ways. Community groups. Yeah. Like, there could be a run group. There could be a basketball group. There could be, you know what I'm saying? There's different ways where you can bring people together without having to tag it or title it like single. And then also, too, just the whole notion in the church. We can talk about this for days. But like, if you single, you almost like. There's something wrong with you in the church.
Yeah, and I've seen so a lot
like,
of
it's like a label that comes with that. And it's just like extremely negative. So I just think we just need to stop using that.
And that's Keon's hot take. You know, okay. That's his hot take.
I hope you all still support us.
But I definitely can say I, of you know, a single woman kind of being like, it's like, why are you single? I don't understand that because it's in the Bible. I don't know where the scripture is. Maybe they can put it in the show notes. Paul talks about everyone isn't supposed to be married. So if you force something on me that the Lord didn't call for me, like, what are we doing?
But
also,
I'm about to say, bro.
Also,
you got make sure you
go ahead. Yeah, but
you
also,
you married.
I also, I think that wait, what are you saying though? Are you saying like that the title is the title? I think being single was totally fine for me. I got to a point where I was content in it, where I wasn't looking for anything. You just happened to come across my Instagram page.
I know Paul said it, but if I was the person, if I was called to be single for the rest of my life,
okay.
I would not be jumping for joy.
Okay,
in
a, cool.
In my honest and human
and I can,
response.
And I can totally understand
I can respect that.
That.
Yeah. Like, God, I'm going to do whatever you tell me, but I'm not about to sit here and say that. And I also got to be sensitive. Like, I have an amazing wife. And
you have an amazing husband to me.
I appreciate that. Amen. So like the joy that I get from you, I've never experienced that with anything. You telling me that I can't experience that? Or like having children. Like I guess you could adopt and everything, or I could be a godmom or a godfather, but like
but that's again I gotta talk
I don't know if I gotta be in a I don't know if I'm called to be an evangelist and just traveling and preaching everywhere.
You know,
but there are some people who desire that.
But you I think that really is a great take. But it's like There are people out there who are living that life. And I think everything that God calls us to do, he graces us for that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. No. But
that's a great point. Like, he graces you for that.
Once you probably come into the agreement with him, like, this is what you called me to be.
Yeah.
You know, you might have your cry, your tear, but you're going to, if you are like, you know, really want to be in his will, you'll acquiesce. You'll say, okay, Jesus, like.
And all I was saying was that, why that is a thing, like, it's, I just don't want it to be like, just do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
just do what? Get married?
Like, no, just like, just be single. Like, if that's what the Paul says, or that's what the Bible says, like, it's not that easy for a lot of people. And I'm sure it wouldn't be easy for me if that was my case.
No, I understand. And I think it comes with, I do believe that the longer that you are single, you really can get to a content place and being like, I'm cool. I do believe that. And maybe that's just destiny, you know, because I kind of was there, like, around the time where I met Keon. But I do believe that the longer that you are that thing, and again, if you're asking the Lord, like, make it plain to me, Father, I want to be married, but if you're not bringing, you know, I'm supposed to be single, you're definitely going to wrestle, but I think you won't be looking for it anymore once you know what the Lord is saying.
Yeah.
So I think that plays
takes
a lot
of spiritual maturity, obedience, humility.
That's fair. Very fair.
But yeah, that's my church.
They won't have no single ministry, balance. So don't go to his church if you're single. that's what he's saying. Amen? Amen.
Hey, we going to two different churches?
I'm saying.
You're not going to be invited.
I'm going to be at your church, but I'm married, so it don't matter. We're talking about the single people.
We're going to have space for the singles.
Amen.
It's just not going to be called singles ministry.
Amen.
We're going to have a lot of space. We're going to have a lot of opportunities for you to connect.
Yes.
And I also, again, it's like, I feel like I'm ranting.
You know, it's our episode. It's our podcast, you know?
I feel like we just be quick. We just be throwing marriage. Like we be trying to get. We be trying to get any single guy.
You be trying to
any single. Push it's like, marriage. Oh yeah, marry her. It's like you can't even just be friends with somebody of the opposite sex without somebody labeling. Oh yeah, they. Yeah. Oh, you a Christian and you a Christian and you single, married. You're gonna be shot wedding in 6 months. In 6 months too.
I'm screaming.
So you know you gotta rush it when you're a Christian.
That you stay whole with the Lord, amen.
That's what I just like. Can we just be like humans first? Can we be like believers and disciples first? And if you connect with somebody genuinely,
as a result, yeah,
that would be amazing. But we're not about to like force that or just like throw that on everybody. Like, amen. I just think that's something that can rub people the wrong way. That's all.
And I've definitely seen that topic. I've seen people talk about that, especially a lot of women in the church talk about that too. So I think that it's a real thing. I think that I maybe can't say that I've experienced it, but I can say I've seen people do that whole like, oh, you know, and it's like, amen. If the Lord allows, but if he don't, amen.
Can I also speak to one more thing? Mm-hmm. What a ideal church would look like? When we was at the Life Church, I never forget this. I was visiting before I met Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. Yeah, for sure. So I was sitting in the same seat every... They had church on Saturday.
At that time.
Yeah. And I was sitting in the same seat. And Pastor Rivers, he would come and say what's up to me every time. Like before he was leader of worship, he would come and find me like every time I came. He found my name. He knew my name. He said my name every time. And that's one of the main reasons why I joined. But like, I feel like an ideal church will be intentional about, of course, like knowing people, but particularly around men. Mm. Like men finding other men like, yo, bro, like this your first time being here? Like, what's up, man? Like, welcome to the church. Like, anywhere I can connect with you. Because like, that just made me feel like, dang, like I got to. Somebody who see me, like a brother who see me, like ain't no girl who try and slide. It ain't somebody who just want to get a connect. He ain't want nothing from me. Mm. He want to try and get me to join. Like he was awesome, genuine. Like when a church has a healthy group of men,
yeah, that's a big deal.
More women are gonna come because they trying to find a man, and then it's just gonna bring about a healthy church. You gonna have healthy families. I would be intentional about finding men and bringing men into the church.
Amen. No, that's huge, and I think. I'm grateful for the churches that we've been able to be a part of where we've seen. I think in my time, I haven't seen many churches that have a lot of men. And I think since moving here, I definitely have visited churches and that have actually had men, which to me, that speaks a lot about the pastor, the leader, because they obviously bring something that attracts men.
For sure.
And families, and that's very, very important. So I think that that's huge, and I think that the more men that you have in the church, that tells you a lot about who the leader is, who the shepherd is of the house.
For sure. Yeah. So that's it.
That's the ideal church. Amen.
That's our church right there.
Yeah. I love that. I would say to y'all, let us know in the comments some of y'all church, what you want to call them. Like, what's on your church gotta have list?
Well, when I left my parents' church, I made a list of 10 things I wanted in the church.
Mm.
So if you're looking for a church and you're transitioning or you're trying to pray about it right now, what 10 things
you would want in
you would want in a church?
Yeah.
And God will meet it.
Yeah. Like, don't just go because your friends, you know, go here. But, like, really go where you feel like the Lord is calling you, like, where he's placing you.
You'll feel at peace when you walk in.
You will. Or, like, you'll feel whatever that is that you want to feel, that you need to feel, if you need to feel if it needs to feel familiar, if it needs to feel, like home. You really will feel that. So I say, you know, if you're out there looking for a church home, don't give up. I can remember like talking to people who, like, I've tried so many churches, but then like that last one was the one. Like, you being in a house of God and having covering is so important. So if you're someone looking for a church, definitely, definitely don't give up. Make that list and continue to try, because God will place you at the right place.
Amen.
When it comes to going to church or creating a rhythm to go constantly, or when it comes to making your spiritual decisions, as far as getting baptized, joining your life, whatever the case may be, how do you make that decision, or how do you form your rhythm?
Got it. I'm going to speak to 3 different people. All right?
All right, let's do it.
First person is somebody who doesn't go to church, who is not necessarily familiar with church, but you feel like this inkling.
A tug.
Like, you feel like this tug. It's like, you're curious about it or you're interested in it. It's like,
You can't shake it.
You can't shake it. It's like every time you scroll on TikTok, now somebody's talking about Jesus. It's like, how did this get on my feed? Or you on Instagram? It's like you feel something, but you might be nervous or you might be scared or you might not know where to go. First thing I would do is definitely encourage you to write out a list of things that you want in the church. I will also encourage you to find somebody who you admire or you know that's in church or close to Christ and just reach out to them and say, hey, I would like to have a conversation. I will also encourage you to start feeding your mind with things that are of Christ. So watching godly podcasts, listening to gospel music. I think I made a challenge where you're like, listen to gospel music up until 12 noon every day. For 30 days straight. Try to read the rest of the day on your Bible. Just start small and then just watch how you continuously progress and grow and grow and grow. So that's the first person. The second person is for the person who like in church, but they not in church. Like they go maybe like once a month or like you Easter, you locked in Christmas, but like it's not necessarily a consistent thing. I would just challenge you to take another step, and maybe I can or we can just talk about the beauty of finding a church, because I think that's also too, like maybe you haven't experienced what it means to be connected to something that's bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. Finding a team or finding a church where like, man, I gotta be here, because a lot of what church is like it's bigger than you. Like I've had so many experiences where like God used me to maybe encourage somebody else or like being an example for somebody else. Like your gifts, what the Bible says, will make room for you. And I think your gift is needed in the church. And I don't know if that can be accomplished with you being there once a month or online every Sunday. No, not to all my bedside Baptist goers.
But a little bit. Go to church.
But this is a challenge. This is a challenge. This is a motivational TED talk to encourage you to increase your time, energy, and efforts to your local church, because you never know who needs you there. You never know the experience. And Christ wants you there. Like the experience that you're going to get in his presence, there's a difference.
Can I speak to that real quick before you go to number three?
Yeah.
I remember reading one of my favorite books by Charles Stanley. It's called The Spirit-Filled Life. And there's a chapter where it talks about service and why we're supposed to be serving in wherever we worship. And just think about, like, there could be a team right now that is a man down and they can't execute well, but you have the skills, but you're at home. Or they could be doing so much better. You have the ideas, you have what they need, but they can't even get to where they're supposed to go because you're the person that they need, but you're sitting on that gift. I think when you think about it like that, that, like, you could be the change that team needs. You could have the ideas that can bring that team or even the church to the next level. So I would really pray, even asking the Lord, like, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Because he might not put you where you want to be. He may put you where you're necessary. And I think that when you submit to that, you don't know what will come out of you just being obedient to his push. So that's what I would share.
I love that. That's good. The last person is the person who has been connected to Christ. You've been in church. You've been locked in. I would just encourage you to pray and ask God, who are you assigned to in this season? Because there are a multitude of people who are going to church who needs to be discipled. And there's not enough disciplers discipling our people. Just seen the movie Forrest, if you haven't seen it.
Amazing.
An amazing movie. And it just reminded me of a urge that I had, or just a tug that God placed on my heart. I talked about Joshua Parker, probably one of the biggest influences on my life. He discipled me for like a year straight. No charge. We met weekly. He helped me walk through pornography. He helped me walk through battling lust. He helped me walk through what it means to be a faithful husband, a humble husband. Not saying that I cheated on anything, but just saying like he showed me what that looked like. And he loved me like Christ did without charging me anything. It was just straight, genuine love because he knew I was assigned to him. And that's why I always pay it for. I'm like, babe, I give her like, hey, babe, it's a couple people who I'm assigned to. And what that looks like is if they call me, Destiny already knows. Because I'm assigned to them, I have my, it's like that's an emergency. Like, they can call me at any time. Mm-hmm. Destiny knows if it's like 11 o'clock, I'm going to step out. Just I'm going to rap with them because they know that we already talked about it and we prayed about it. I'm assigned to that person in this season. And I think we need, particularly with men, we need more men who are intentional about discipling other brothers in Christ, who are curious, who want to know, who don't know what it looks like to be just a man of God, standing firm in their truth and belief in Christ and loving their wives and being faithful and mastering purity and mastering restraint and mastering their emotions. Like, what does that look like? And it's going to take some walking through one-on-one. So I know I just talked a lot, but those are three people I wanted to encourage.
And the only thing that I want to say, I feel like the Holy Spirit kind of gave me this analogy or like this, I can see like, I don't know if anyone has ever gone skydiving or like the whole jumping out of a plane thing. And if you have ever been, there's someone like on the back of you and you're in the front and they tell you like to lean, because if you like, if you don't lean when they say like go, you can actually kind of like stifle what happened. You can kind of crash at the bottom or like you won't be able to reach the altitude that you need in order to glide. And I feel like he's just telling you like, or he wants you to like lean in, like lean in so that you can reach the level that he wants you to go to. Like, yes, it can be scary doing something new, going to a new church, being the only person who doesn't know how to get to Second Chronicles in the back of the book. But, you know, but it is in the New Testament if you didn't know that. But I just feel the Lord saying like to lean in so that leaning in, when you lean in and you're skydiving and you're gliding, like you're literally, it's an easier experience. And then you can land properly because you've done the thing that they told you, you followed the direction. It's like that tug is purposeful. It's there because the Lord wants you to take that step. So I just encourage you not to stifle your progress or stifle what's next in your life by leaning back and you're supposed to be leaning forward. So I just would encourage you to lean in. God is going to guide you, you know, on that path. So that's all I had.
That's amazing. Did you mean Second Corinthians?
Oh, I said Chronicles.
You said Chronicles.
Darn it, that is in the Old Testament. Corinthians!
Wait, First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. I was like,
Esther, Job, Psalms. Yes, you're right. That's Corinthians.
You were speaking though, and the people received it.
Thank you. That's why I have my help. Keon's my help, and he helped me because I don't want to be embarrassed. Amen?
We know you know the Bible.
Oh, that's a perfect segue to the last question, which would be like, I love the analogy about, you know, skydiving. Can you guys talk about curating dreams and ideas? It could be from a church perspective, it could be from work perspective, it could be from entrepreneurial perspective. Oftentimes God gives us ideas. It doesn't always have to be something brand new, but God puts something in our heart. How do you take that thing and curate it into like reality?
I love that. And I think there is a spiritual and a practical answer to this. Do you want me to go?
You can go first.
Practically, well, spiritually, for me personally, because like I think I talked about, I be seeing things and sometimes it'd be a little overwhelming. But like, I think I've gone to a space where like I can recognize where it's a tug from God and then where it might just be like my own personal ambition or ego. And I'm able to decipher the two by whenever I feel like God gives me something. Most of the time it's a consistent thing. Like, it's not just like a 10-second glimpse. Like, I might see it like every day for like a week straight or something like that. So I always write whatever he gives me down in my notes first, and then I'll pray on it. And then if I feel that it's something that, you know, I really feel like it is, I'll go to my Google Docs and I'll literally type it. And if it takes me 5 to 10 minutes, like Destiny has seen me outline stuff in like 10 minutes. And I know that straight from the Holy Spirit. Like, I can't even stop typing. Like, I'm just writing and it's a whole conference outline. It's a whole, like a whole live show. What we gonna do from 6:30 to 9:30, all of that is done in eight.
That's how it really happens.
Like, so literally like 8 minutes. And I'm like, this is nothing but God. And I know this is what he wants us to do. If I'm like struggling to like put it together or like it's just not coming to me, then either it's not the right timing or it's on my own personal thing. But anything that I've ever felt God called me to do, I go to my laptop, I'll put on my instrumental, on my worship music, and I'll zone out. And literally anything that we've ever done or I've done, if it takes me 10 minutes, because it always happens that way. Like I can't make it up. If it's 10 minutes, I know it's God. And if it takes me time, I'm just like, all right, maybe it's not the right time, man. Maybe it's my own personal thing. And then just spiritually, just like...
Practically, you mean?
I think that was the practical. I guess they were both.
I thought that was kind of spiritual. They both. Everybody don't got that. I mean, hey.
Hey, it's both. I think it just comes over time. Like, again, whatever, I will say, whatever God puts on your heart, write it down.
100%.
Whether it's in your notes or in your laptop or whatever. And then for you, you just got to figure out what God's calling you to right now, or if it's like pocketed for later. Because also too, like, there's a multitude of dots in my... in my laptop
or even or thing
on my phone that he told me to work on now, but don't release until later. You know what I'm saying? And that just comes with spiritual connection, maturity, and time. So I hope I answered it.
I would just say more practically, because I'm not, Keon, he be in the heavens, you know? And you can get there, you know? But until I get there, I just feel like, you know, if I have an idea, very much first, we're bringing it to God 100%, no matter what it is. But I think once he gives the go ahead, it's definitely like, write, you know, I'm reminded of like, write the vision and make it plain. Write it out, you know, and then put together the steps of how I'm going to get there. I think sometimes we may see the end of the thing and we start to think about what it's going to take to get there. And then we get like scared. But I think when you kind of break things down, like phase one or phase two, you can kind of like remind yourself, like, I'm just focusing on one thing at a time instead of trying to make the thing happen, you know, at one time. But I think you really just have to be, I think that's why we work well together, because Keon will say, this is what I want to do. He's telling me what the end is. But I like to go from, if this is the end, what are the steps in order to get to the end?
I'm like, I haven't thought about that.
Yes. And that's where I come in. And I think that you have to, yes. And I think that you need to put the steps in place, you know, because some things are, you can get done in 6 months, something you can get done in 3 months, something you can get done in a year. And if you know what you have to do and then you just stick to it and be disciplined, that brings about the result, no matter what it is. If you want to work out and lose weight, you're going to say, I have to change my diet. I got to go to the gym 3 times a week. That was your desire and you achieved that goal by sticking to the plan. It's just about, I think, making things not so big and just making it smaller. I think that helps people to actually take the steps to bring their dream into reality as well.
Another thing practically that came to me is a quote from Darius Daniels. He talks about how, like, you don't go as far as your dream, you go as far as your team. And I think you got to be intentional about, like, who you have around bringing your vision to life and bringing your dreams to life. Like,
who's helping you?
Another thing is, like, spiritually, is that, like, if it's from God, he's going to send you who's supposed to be with you. He's going to send the resources. He's going to send the people that's going to bring it to life. Like, might have had a vision about the pod, but like destiny made this happen. And then we found Daniel. Yeah. And then it went to a whole nother level.
Yeah, but we like, found China for the live show.
Yeah, like that's a God thing though. That's how you know he breathed on. Like he gave me the vision, but like then he sent people to bring the visions to life. Mm-hmm. And then provision. Like we ain't had no funds to, you see this camera quality? Like
it's all Daniel.
That's the Lord working on our side to provide this because.
Yeah.
We ain't there yet. You know what I'm saying? But again, like, that's why I would encourage you too. Like, you know it's God when he start providing and showing up in ways with people, resources, and things that necessarily you didn't even think was possible.
Yeah. So you got to write it down, the steps, praying about it, and then allowing the Lord to bring you the people that you need in order to execute the goal. Yep. Amen. Well, that's this episode, y'all. We hope that you guys enjoyed. Again, don't forget to put your things in the comments. We want to see everything. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And that's all we got for y'all. See y'all in the next episode.
Peace.